Thank you, Reverend. Okay, well, Lord's given us a bright side over here, so anyway, let's just ask God to help us. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, your kindness. Thank you that you have so much grace that you've poured out upon us in your Son. And we just pray that we'll be in tune with you, that the Spirit of God would have his way. We'd be a people quick to deal with sin and just allow you to reign and work and accomplish your will. So we just pray you'll put my thoughts in a way that express your word and the design of your will. So we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Wouldn't it, when we think of all the things that go on, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a life that was trouble-free? Can you even imagine a trouble-free life? If we could bottle it and sell it, we'd be really, really rich, right? And of course, there are some people that tell us that you can have a trouble-free life. You know, it's if you just do this, do that. I wonder, though, if we had a trouble-free life, would we miss anything? Well, we're probably saying initially, not that I can think of. I'd really like to try. I understand that. The show, just as Jim had us pray, and I'm sure all of us were praying for different people, people who do not have a trouble-free life. And that includes all of us in some measure, some time, some zone. All of us are in that place. Wouldn't it be interesting if God had a purpose for trouble? Has a plan to use with our trouble? You know, it's interesting in our passage, God does have a plan in using trouble. We may not really raise our hand and say, I want more, but God has a plan in working in our lives, even in the midst of our trouble. Now let's look, we're going to go back to Romans. We were there, Romans chapter 5. We come to verse 3. And we talked this morning of all the wonderful results of the gospel, some of them. And I'll just read the preface to our verse. Starting at verse 1 of Romans 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. We're no longer at war. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. When we trust in Christ, as we expressed it this morning, we step into a realm of grace. Not only we're saved by grace, but we're in a realm of grace, and that is sufficient for us in our journey. I just thank the Lord for that. We need his grace every day, don't we? He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And just thank the Lord that that's true. Now, then another result. We talked about this, and then this actually moves into our passage tonight. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Now he's looking to when we share in the perfection of God, in our what we call glorification, when we're with God. No more sin, no more mars and marks from sin. Justice will be perfect. No more tears. We exalt because we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to that. We have confident. Hope means confident expectation. It's not the way we talk about it often. You know, like a little kid might say, I hope I get a bicycle for Christmas, right? Doesn't know if it's going to happen. But hope, in this biblical sense, is a confident expectation that glorification is coming. And that confidence that we can have. And I hope for certainly that we all have it without a doubt. Now, this brings us to our passage in verse 3. And not only this, thinking back, Not only this, these are wonderful things. Not only this, though, but we exalt. But we also exalt. Now, I'm just going to stop right there. If you notice the little word exalt, it was the same word used in verse 2. We exalt in hope of the glory of God. So this morning we talked, it's an exultant rejoicing. It's like, this is the most exciting thing. We're just looking forward to it. Our expectation is just over the top. We exalt. We exalt. We rejoice in this. Now, I think if we would take our culture as our culture is, we would add on the phrase, we exalt in a trouble-free life. Right? That'd be great. That is not what the passage says. Notice what it says. We exalt in our tribulations. Now, I don't know about you, but it'd be kind of nice to change that verse if we could. We exalt, we rejoice in our tribulations. That seems ridiculous, right? Now, maybe we can modify the word tribulation if we looked at it a little bit. What does that word mean? Well, tribulation means pressure. Pressure. Think of a time in your life where you really have felt pressure. Maybe a lot of times it's emotional pressure. Maybe it's physical pressure. Something is wrong. And it's the pressure that results in affliction. Might be physical, might be financial, might be relational. We are not exempt from pressure. Now, one passage, and this even heightens this. I'm going to go to Acts 14:22. If you want to turn there with me, Acts 14:22, because this passage just puts it before us in a way that somewhat overwhelms us. In ministry, there's ministry going on. Verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples. So these are already believers, strengthening them, trying to encourage them, and how we need to do that in our time. Every believer that walks in the door here, they need to be encouraged and strengthened and built up and equipped. And that's a desire. That's one of our goals, is to equip the saints. Encouraging them to continue in the faith. Okay, keep on keeping on, and saying, notice what it says. He's preparing us. Very objective. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is a millennial kingdom, and it's coming. When Christ returns, we are taken up with him, then he'll come back. After the tribulation, he'll set up his thousand-year reign. But before that, while our time is now, we have to go through many tribulations. And you think, and quite frankly, a lot of Christians think, if I'm just doing it right, I'm going to do away with tribulation. Now, of course, we're not talking about the kind of tribulation, and we can bring tribulation on ourselves just by our sin. I understand that. We're not really talking about that. I mean, obviously, God doesn't want that. We don't want that. But this is talking about the tribulation that we may not have had anything to do with in causing. It may seem totally unfair, and sometimes it is unfair from the human standpoint, because other people who are sinning and creating all kinds of havoc around us and to us create some of these tribulations. But it says through many tribulations. And this is so challenging to us. Later on in Romans chapter 12, in talking to the believers and trying to encourage them, it says rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. That's one of the things we're supposed to do, is persevere. We're going to talk about that. Persevering in tribulation. One writes, some pressures come in all shapes and sizes. We all face them. The pressures of deadlines, the economy, people's expectations, workplace politics and demands, home and auto repairs, relationships. And these pressures become intense with failing health, job loss, grief, persecution, and other major events. So it just seems like sometimes we just feel overwhelmed with these things. I was trying to remember, again, as Everett said, sometimes I share stories that I forget that I've shared. Years ago, when we lived in Dodge City, we had a house that was right next to ours, and it turned into a rental house. Originally, when we bought our house, it was a house for sale, but it never sold, so they ended up renting it. We had all kinds of unique people that lived in that house. It was a very unique event. But anyway, one of the families that moved into this house were Vietnamese. And they were boat people. I don't know if you remember the boat people, but they were the lowest class, really, in Vietnam. And they tried to escape Vietnam. And one of the ways they did it, they would just get a boat and launch. And many of them died at sea, just because they just... And if they got caught on the water by the communists, they would be killed anyway. But this little family... survived, and we got to know them. They were a dad, a mom, three children, and then lots of other people that would live in the house at different times, because just trying to pay the bills. And the man and the wife, especially the husband, was very compassionate. He was a kind man, so he was always kind of letting people live in the house who needed a place to live, a lot of other Vietnamese people. Anyway, we gained a relationship with them and became very good friends. And we shared the Lord with them. As long as they were there, they never came to Christ that I am aware of, but we had opportunities. And so we've always had a soft spot in our hearts for these people. And I mentioned this morning, but I bought this little book. I ordered it from Voice of Martyrs, as I'm sure you probably know that ministry, at least in measure. It just talks about the different persecuted Christians around the world. And I was reading of one of the various people that have been talked about in this book. This is one of the more recent ones that are mentioned in the book. May 2, 2011, police hired a drunkard in this Pastor Lan's village. And the Pastor Lan is the one they're talking about, evangelical preacher, to beat and harass him. On one occasion, the thug beat Pastor Lung's father nearly to death as he was taking a fellow villager to the hospital for medical attention. Some of the other villagers came to his rescue, otherwise he would have died. His father is now unable to work in the fields because of what happened. The thug also threw stones at Pastor Lung's roof and did a lot of damage. The thug was so enraged when his own mother turned to Christ that he beat her with a chair, bringing her life on earth to an end. When villagers reported the murder, police said that they would investigate, but they never did. At the funeral, the man, the thug, held out a long knife and threatened to kill the 100 believers present. Afraid that he would carry out his threats, they all left. No arrest was made of the thug, not even for killing his own mother. He continued to lash out at Christians, and 2 months later, he beat another Christian man and cracked his skull. The reason Christians believe this thug works for the police is that even when officers arrest him, they incarcerate him for only one day. Today, he's back in his village. Pastor Lung fears for his life and told believers that one day he may be killed by the thug who lives very close to his house. Now, when I read through this, there's so many different stories, and they go way back in Vietnam. Vietnam has been just a place of torment for believers. But the believers have, many of them have stayed strong and have held on to their faith. Now, of course, we need to pray for them. We need to care for them. And that's true, obviously, for all the believers around us who suffer. But let's put this in the context of our passage. Now, let's think about this. And I want to be very careful. I don't want to be flippant, because this is very, very painful, right? We need to care about our brothers and sisters around the world who suffer intensely. But God says he told us ahead of time through his word that believers will suffer many tribulations. Many tribulations. All believers will experience affliction. How do we respond to this? I think this is, you know, I mean, obviously, I don't know what is ahead for our country. I don't know what's ahead for, you know, the zone. I thank the Lord, and oftentimes people, and I think rightfully so, we praise the Lord that we've been protected by so much in Canada. Thank the Lord for that. But how do we respond when things don't go the way that we think they should? You know, I think of the passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, in everything give thanks. That's an interesting concept in connection with our passage. Now, that is far from a normal reaction. But the only way we can respond to this, as God instructs us to exalt in tribulation, is by knowing something. We have to know this. Now, see what our passage instructs us in knowing. It says that we, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. This is what we need to know. Tribulation brings about perseverance. Hard times that put pressure on us, a variety of things, obviously, there's a number of different ways it can come at us. They can, now obviously we know, we all know this, and we've seen it in others, and we've seen it at times in ourselves. We can make an absolutely wrong response to trouble. I mean, we've all looked back and say, oh man, I wish I wouldn't have said that, or I wish I wouldn't have reacted that way, or I wish I wouldn't have done that. And a lot of times believers become bitter through their trouble. They're so angry. They're angry at God. They're angry at other Christians. They're angry, just angry. Well, obviously that's not going to help them in what this process is talking about. But if we can learn what God wants us to learn and respond the way God wants us to respond, there's benefit in trouble that an easy glide through life is not going to bring us. You know, we all, I think, in our, you know, a lot of the time we just like the easy path. But God has something more important for us to gain. Notice what he says. Tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. It achieves, it works out in us. Obviously, God's the one behind the scenes bringing this about. One writes, Christians can face trials with joy because there are rich advantages from these testings. Trials, rightly taken, produce the sterling quality of endurance. Now just our passage again. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. The word in the Greek is hupomene. Hupomene. The idea of ability to remain under difficulties without giving in. To remain. Just think if you were, you know, you were carrying a heavy load, and perseverance, even though the pressure of the load was pressing down on you, you still would keep on going. Keep on going. So the idea to be steadfast, to persevere, to hang in there. One writes, endurance in the face of difficulties. Keep on keeping on. Now, that is it's easy to say that, very hard to do that, right? Very hard to do that. But perseverance, there's something exceedingly valuable. Now, how can we grow in perseverance? Now, I just want to think about this because the passage is very short. There's a lot of things it doesn't say. It gives us basic principles, and I just want to draw some truth from other passages to kind of fill in some of the blank. How can we grow in perseverance? First of all, well, let's just turn to Romans 15 for a moment. Let's turn to Romans 15. There's a instruction for us in this passage. And we pick up some things we need to know in order to persevere. First of all, we need to remember that perseverance is from God. Notice in Romans 15:5, now may the God who gives perseverance, God who gives perseverance. So ultimately, when we're looking for perseverance, we're looking to the Lord for it, okay? If I'm going to keep on keeping on, just think of one of the hardest times in your life. And obviously, we all have it looks different for each one of us, but it might have been a health crisis, it might have been a family crisis, one of the hardest times, and you just felt like you just were going to collapse, or you just wanted to give up, right? So, where do we look? Well, ultimately, God is the one that can get us through, right? He's the one. He's the one. Now, if I just look at myself, or I just look at my trial, or I just look at another person, I'm probably not going to persevere. Because my perseverance comes ultimately from Him. Now, and it comes through the Word. God provides it through His Word. His Word is so amazing. It works mysteriously but powerfully by the Spirit of God, taking the truth of God's Word. The Word is so important that we draw on it, we draw on it, we draw on it. And as we do, then God brings perseverance into our life through the Word. And so we need to remember the Word of God is absolutely essential if I'm going to keep on keeping on. Now notice, and I draw that thought from Romans 15:4. It says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Excuse me, my throat is... okay, we've been dealing with a passage, or really one passage mainly, but this summer when I have the privilege just to spend some time with the kids, the counselors at Hope Valley on Wednesday night. You probably thought I was just goofing around, but I was gone on Wednesday night out there. Hebrews 11. Now, I just want to go see how God brings... But Hebrews 11 and 12. I just want to turn there for a moment and see how God gives us perseverance through the Word. Now, Hebrews 11 talks about all these different individuals, but... before I talk about them, just a moment, I want to go to chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, that's talking about all the people that are in chapter 11. It's not so much that they're looking down on us. It's that their testimony has been given in His Word to us. These cloud of witnesses, great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangle us. Let us run with endurance. Hupomene. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Each one of us has a different look race. It looks different for each one of us. But our race, we're supposed to run it as unto the Lord with endurance. No, don't give up. Don't give up. Set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now, He's the ultimate example of one who demonstrated faith. He went to the cross with he's divine, but He's also man, God and man. When He went to the cross, He died on the cross to pay for our sin. He was looking forward to the joy that was ahead of Him when He would sit at His Father's right hand and He would be able to offer salvation to us. And with the thought of bringing us to heaven to be with Him. So He looked the joy before Him. But that was an issue of faith. Faith. And so we look at Him for the ultimate example of faith. But there's others we look to for faith. And if you look in this, in chapter 11, it's a long, long list. And there's no way we would even attempt to... to go through this. But it talks about faith. And it talks about... Abel, and then verse 5, Enoch, and then I talked about with the kids, Noah. Just think, Noah, when he built the ark, over 100 years building this ark, and it's possible it hadn't even rained in his lifetime. Can you imagine what the crowd said? Can you imagine? He had to be the laughing stock at times of the whole community, right? What are you doing? What is an ark? What for? But he is an example of persevering by faith, believing God. So he's an example. So what do we see? When we take in, let's say we take in a passage like this, chapter 11, we just let it absorb in, take, and it builds our faith through the word, through the word, through the word. And it goes on, talks about Abraham and on down this list, Jacob and Joseph and this wonderful list of those who have gone before us who persevered through faith. Now, they weren't perfect, but they ultimately persevered. Perseverance comes from God, it's through his word, and it is by way of faith. And that's what Hebrews 11 is all about. If you just take a quick glance, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, and then you come to chapter 12, therefore, since we have such a great a cloud of witnesses, and then it jumps over, with endurance, the race that is set before us, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. So endurance comes as we believe God. We see God works through his word. We see his truth. We hang in there and we keep on. By faith we grow. Our faith, it's something that grows. You know, when you first trust Christ, you're a baby, right? But as you grow, you take in the word, faith grows. Our endurance increases. We stay in the race. We stay in the race. And we've all had times where we dropped off a little bit and we messed up. You know, God, we confess our sins, we get back on the road. I was saying to somebody recently, Satan is a great discourager. And you mess up, you know what he does? He dumps guilt on you, he dumps guilt on you, he dumps guilt on you, and say, well, there's no reason even to try anymore. Just give it up. He's lying to you. He's a father of lies. Because God loves us so much. He's a God of second chances, as some have said. What a wonderful God. He gets us back on the track, and then he says, okay, I'm here for you. I'll give you strength. Let's get going. And in his spirit, we can move forward. He's a wonderful God, and he wants us to have endurance and perseverance. It comes from him through his word and by faith. And it's so, so important. Persevere. Hang on. Hang on. One has said, of the word, when it talks about this the idea of persevering and keeping on, holding on. I remember one time, and again, I've been here too long, too many stories I've already shared, but I remember one time, Marty and I met, I'm sure some of you remember, we met at a Christian camp. We were both junior in high school, and I ended up being the wrangler that we had some horses and it was for the kids, right? And so, well, they weren't really trail horses. They were farm horses. And so it's an adventure, totally different thing having a trail horse, because the trail horse follows the horse in front, right? Farm horses were for work horsing, working cattle, whatever. So anyway, I remember, one day, I had a whole bunch of girls, and they all wanted to ride the horses, right? I don't remember how many horses we had. They all wanted to ride the horses. Well, I said, who knows how to ride the horse the best, right? Because I'm thinking you put the best rider on the strongest horse, the fastest horse, the most ornery horse. And so this girl, she was, no, I don't know. Anyway, so I put him on my dad's black horse. And Blackie, very original. But anyway, he was cattle horse, strong horse, big horse. And I put her on Blackie. So and then all the other girls got on. They were all friends. They were all giggly, giggly, just any girl deal, right? Anyway, so we're taking off. Well, the girl who knew all about horses got Blackie going, and you didn't need a whole lot of help to get him going. And everybody else took off, except for me. I'm sitting there, oh, man, what do I do with all these screaming girls, right? They're all screaming girls. Ah! We're going to die, we're going to die. I'm thinking, I'm going to die if they die. And I said, all I could say, because I couldn't catch them fast enough, I said, hold on, hold on, right? And they were just, my horses were running. Thank the Lord I got ahead of them. I was able to stop them. We didn't lose any girls that day. Hold on. Sometimes we feel like that we're in life, right? I'm just barely holding on. The horse is going like crazy. God says, hold on. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Persevere, persevere, persevere. Now, why do I want to persevere? You say, well, why? It's too hard to persevere. I'm giving up. I don't want to go on. Notice what happens if we hang on and we keep on. Perseverance leads, it brings about proven character. Now, I know it's translated a little different in different versions. I think this is a pretty good translation that I'm reading from. Proven character. Now, the idea of the Greek term, the related verb to this word, to prove by testing. Now, let's say you had, we'd all like this, have a chunk of gold, you know, and you're melting it down, right? To kind of melt away the excess. You want the gold. Melting it down. You're proving it. What is the real gold and what is the fluff? Or it's like, you know, it could have been used of a boxer, you know, who's in a ring. And believe me, I'm not a boxer. But anyway, he proved his mettle by staying in the fight. So God says if we persevere, there's something happening in our character. He is developing our character where it is proven to have some gold in it. Some quality in it. God is developing quality in our character as we persevere. Now, this makes it really important because if we don't persevere, and I'm sure you've seen this, but I see sometimes, and we live in a bailout generation. I mean, I'm not trying to be demeaning, but I just see it so prevalent in our culture. Everybody just wants to, I give up, you know? I give up. And they bail out. Whatever it's in, they just bail out. You know, a lot of times at work situations, you say, well, they just don't go to work. Marty was at work last night, and she was there. She's supposed to be there. She was there all night. And one girl said, she just didn't come in. They tried to call her. Nobody answered. Well, that helps a lot, right? God says, you know, don't go with the flow. This is not what I want for you. I have something a lot more important for you. I want to develop your character. But if we're always bailing, our character is not growing. We're not maturing. And God says, I want the best for you. I love you. I want you to grow. And I want your character to be proven. Now, the similar concept of this proven character comes out in James chapter 1. And I just want to go there for a moment. You know this passage, but I just want to show you the similarities between our Romans concept and our James concept. James chapter 1, verse 2. And again, we run right into the same challenge that we have in Romans in James. It says, verse 2, James 1, verse 2, consider it all joy. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Well, right there we have tribulation. Various trials, all kinds, all shapes and sizes, all colors, all kinds of trials. And he says, consider it joy. There's something good that can come out of this. Consider it all joy. And then James goes on in verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The testing of your faith produces endurance. Perseverance is the same word, just translated different. Verse 4, and let endurance have its perfect result. What is that perfect result? So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That we might have proven character. That God develops our character. Now, one writes, trials can be faced with joy because infused with faith, perseverance results. And if perseverance goes full term, it will develop a thoroughly mature Christian who lacks nothing. He's mature. Now, obviously, it comes through faith. It comes through looking at through in the Word, depending on the Lord. And we develop in our character. And then notice, we grow in our hope. And again, we started with hope. Remember in our passage earlier today, the hope of the glory of God in the bottom of verse 2. But now, we start with hope, and we increase in hope. We increase. It, you know, when you go through life, It's so easy to get discouraged, and it is easy to give up. I understand that. And we all have people we love who have given up, and our heart goes out to them. And we know it's painful. There's some people that are going through, right now in our chapel, going through some pain, real pain. But God wants to develop our hope. We can have a confident expectation that God has something great ahead for us. Wherever we've been, whatever we've done, let's not let Satan discourage us and beat us down and drop out. But let's just pick back up and look and let our hope grow. As our character grows, our hope grows. We see how God has worked. We have greater confidence in God. One's hope of his glory strengthened and confirmed. We have this prospect of glory. This is what gives us hope, that confidence. We need hope. We need hope. And as we grow in our character, our hope increases. Warren Wiersbe shared of a young man who was almost burned to death. Months and months in the hospital. He had skin grafts and all the things that go with burns. It's just got to be one of the most terrible experiences from what I've heard. But he had hope. And the reason he had hope is because the doctor said, you're going to recover. And so he's going through all the pain. And I don't think there's much more pain than burns. And so he went through all of that, but he had hope. And he eventually recovered. But he had hope. God doesn't want us to lose hope. You know, Christians can, if we don't have hope, then we just say, I can't. I just can't. Another personal story. I know I've told you parts of this story, but just parts of it. But when my mother was a little girl, she was I told you this story. She was there at a farmhouse fire. It was a terrible fire. And just the whole thing burned down. And Grandpa was able, he thought she was out, but the smoke was so bad he couldn't see. So she got burned really bad. Thankfully, he was able to get in and saved her life. But Mom said, her mother told her, of course, she was just basically a baby, that the doctor, of course, they just lived in the country. When the doctor would come to change the bandages. Of course, you can imagine, you have to take off the old bandages to put on the new, so therefore it was exceedingly painful for this little baby. When my mom as a baby just heard the voice of the doctor, she would start screaming because she knew that meant pain. Now, Mom, years later, she came to faith in Christ, and God worked wonderful things in her life. But when she was a little baby, she didn't have a concept that she would get better. She just focused on the pain. And what God says is, you know what? I know it hurts. Whatever you're going through, I know it hurts. But don't focus on the pain. Focus on the hope. Because I got something good coming for you. It's, in fact, great. It is great. And I think what God is saying to us, don't lose hope. Grow in your character. Yes, we don't want trials, but as we respond to them, we look to the Lord through the Word, in the middle of the trial, we will grow in the Lord, and our hope increases. And as we go through life, we hang on to our hope, and we get the most out of life. You know, we need trouble. We need trials to bring about maturity that brings about hope. Let's ask God to help us. God, we come through life, and obviously none of us want hassle. None of us want trial. None of us want trouble. And we don't want to bring it on ourselves needlessly, that's for sure. But when we're in the middle of it, may we not just focus inward. May we look to you. May we have confidence in you and allow you to grow us up and carry us through. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.